Welcome to another episode of Small School Big Tech. This is Q at Macworld.
Yes, it is.
John Carippo Productions.
Okay, last teacher standing is underway, and John just asked the crowd how many people had ever heard of Khan Academy, which was the first question, and half the crowd raised their hand and said they had never heard of Khan Academy. So I think that alone was worth price of admission, because the Khan Academy is an awesome resource for math, science. I think there's even CST how-to videos on the Khan Academy site. And Bert Lowe is just sharing with the audience that iPad apps are now available, and iPhone apps are now available for direct access to the Khan Academy. It's an incredible resource. If you're a teacher and you haven't checked it out, you need to go check it out. We will have a link in the show notes. Well, that was a nice intro from John.
Yeah, over the top, as usual.
Of course. Are you tweeting out? Tweet, man, tweet.
I'm trying to. Too much stuff going on.
So, you know, an hour and a half is about 2.5 gigs. How much space is on this drive?
I think they're 160s or 250s. Or no, the ones that Mike bought us were 320s, I think. I think those are 250s or 260s.
And it's a 3,500 lumen projector you can use.
We have 226 available.
So that's a cool thing to have, even if it doesn't take it back to your classroom, right?
Yeah, but I'm going to be Super Bowl. I'm going to be cautious, and I'm not going to record unless we have stuff going on.
Oh, and then the last thing. We're gonna have
okay, so we're here at Macworld, and we're doing probably like a 8-hour recording session, something like that. I don't know. We're from 10 to 4, is it?
I hope we have a lunch break.
So my question is, we're worried about hard drive space, because what did you say, 3 gigs per hour?
Yeah, it's roughly that.
For raw audio? So,
well, for the GarageBand file, it's not even the raw. Yeah.
Okay, so what if we put the GarageBand file in Dropbox? Will it continuously sync to Dropbox?
No, I think that might be a problem.
Oh,
I don't think we could do that.
Plus, we only got 2 gigs up there, so never mind.
Yeah. We'd have like less than an hour. Wow, look at all those hands going.
Oh, make sure
Twitter,
you use
Twitter
make sure
users.
You use the Q Macworld.
Yeah, if you want to see the Twitter activity, it's a hash Q Macworld. It's I don't know if you can do search or archive. Is there
you can do
it?
A search and it'll come up.
So I'm talking, but I'm talking slow.
That fast. I have a speech impediment.
You do have a speech impediment. It's the Twitter chorus.
Twitter chorus.
There you go.
Okay, a little crowd pump up here.
Yep. Getting the crowd excited.
We have to start out. Who wants to win a prize?
So all the hands just shot up for who wants to win a prize.
Who in this room is a principal? Oh, you win a prize.
Wow.
They're not even looking over here.
You just won a prize.
You don't count, Danny.
I'm part of the
John didn't tell you that?
I'm part of the group, so I can't count. I know. I can't count either.
Well, that too.
Or talk.
Oh.
Yeah, I don't know why you're my co-host. Just kidding.
Yeah, whatever.
Oh, I know why, because you carry that heavy box of equipment up here.
Yeah, thanks for ordering our Pelican case too late.
I believe I gave you the PO.
Yeah, but you took forever to get the quote.
Whatever. What? Pod Pirates here? Okay, so the Twitter chorus is off and running, and the crowd is getting an introduction to Twitter.
Like, here's what I'm having for breakfast.
I'm sitting on the porch.
It's a prize!
It's a prize! He gets a prize. Run the prize back.
Excellent.
Looks like the next question up is how much does it cost to create ringtones in GarageBand? I think this is a trick question. This is Macworld, so all the Mac users should know what this is, but it should be. Well, we'll see. We have options. Just an off-the-wall comment. I feel like I should be doing a, like, Mystery Science 3000 theater here, making comments on what's going on, but realizing that listeners can't hear, and I'm not very good at commentary. But just to clue you in where we are right now, we are in the middle of Last Teacher Standing, and we've got the interactive smart response systems out in the crowd. And John is going through the questions. He's got them up on the board. And the way it works is right now, if you answer correctly, you move on to the next round, and I guess the objective is to get down to the last teacher standing. A lot of prizes and swag going out. We got Bert Lowe out in the audience answering questions and helping people out. And so it's very engaged, highly active audience participation, something that you probably want to see in your classroom, which is, I think, a great demonstration of the interactive nature of the response system or any kind of interactive system, even if you're using, you know, iPhones or netbooks and something like Poll Everywhere or I always forget, Poll Everywhere, Poll Anywhere. Danny's not here to correct me. So anyway, yeah, so they're about, I think they're about halfway through, and people are getting prizes left and right. Unfortunately, I am not eligible, so oh well. Maybe next year I won't be here and I'll be out in the crowd, but it's really exciting. And we've got the Avery Middle School students participating as well, so they're, I think, frantically looking up their answers on the iPad. So
acceptable or is very nice range for word.
It's almost lunchtime at Q Macworld. I like calling it Q Macworld.
It's not lunch. It's meet the characters.
Oh, meet the characters, and
remember, names are important.
I just tells you how powerful John is and how much name recognition he has. Was that the CEO?
That was the CEO of Quizlet.
Of Quizlet just got done talking. They're giving away a set of Quizlet remotes.
Well, and subscriptions, which we have some to give away as well.
Yeah, we have some to give away. So we hope to get some people up here to do some interviews so we can give some of these away. I just came back from the show floor. And
so did you see anything interesting? I see a stack of papers in your hand.
I went very fast. I was going as quickly as I could. So some of the things I saw or had noticed was... funny one was it looks like there's some rogue vendors on the show floor. They don't have a booth. They're just kind of handing out stuff from the side. It's kind of interesting.
And then they're all winning. So once you make a group and have your kids join your group, once they
can they?
It's all right. So we might be talking too loud. So we'll quiet down over here.
I'll say you're talking too loud.
I get excited.
You have a microphone.
Yeah, that's okay. We get excited. So the people, the rogue vendors, where they have
This is the built-in USB.
The built-in USB to the
power outlet.
Duplex receptacle. Yes.
Yeah.
Duplex receptacle.
It's, FastMac.
Plug.
You know, I was actually thinking about putting these in my house because that way I wouldn't have that iPhone charger sticking out of the wall all the time.
That's true. You save a plug port unless you have too big of a plug and then it covers up the USB port.
Yeah. So that's kind of interesting. What else?
Okay, so I'm because I might have to do my PC over again, I'll have to move my iTunes library from my PC to my Mac, maybe.
Oh, did you see the iTunes Anywhere? What was that called?
Well, this is called TuneUp Automagically. They have trademarked Automagically.
Oh, I think I said it first.
Can you believe they've trademarked Automagically? So anyhow, it to clean up your iTunes collection, so I might have to look into that. Stopped by a booth. I could not figure out what it was for, so I'm trying to dig around. That's a good marketing ploy, is if you can't figure out what's going on, and people have to ask questions, or they walk by, one of the two. But it's called Creative Edge for, I think it's like $20 a month. I'm not positive.
18.
18.
Special price.
They go and round up basically all the books on like how-to books.
It says videos and books for creative people.
So like the Dummy books, the O'Reilly books, stuff like that, I believe. And they put them all in one place for you to look at, which I don't know how they do that for a subscription.
Do we qualify as creative people?
Possibly. Let's see here. Okay, right off the bat, I found called Canson. And so our tablets at school are starting to have some problems. They're starting to get older. I think they're almost 5 years old. And so this is a notepad with a pen and it actually interacts with your monitor. And so you actually write on the page, and then you can have a drawing, and whatever the drawing is on the page will actually be on the screen as well.
Yeah, I think I saw that. This is kind of the where you turn the pen into a recording device and it captures.
No, this is okay. This is not LiveScribe. This is it's papershowforteachers.com. But it like you could put a map up and draw on the map.
But I have to tell you, I think tablets are obsolete now that the iPads come out.
Well,
and also when you throw the.
I was going to go there, but...
let's go there. I mean,
well,
seriously.
No, I was going to go there. What I was saying was, this was good all until he said that without the book, basically it's nothing because it doesn't even do... It's not even a mouse.
Oh, so you need a special book for it to work.
Yes, so that's another thing. So then later on, I ran into Cameron, I believe is his name.
Yep, from...
From CVT, and he is... I always say this... Because John said it wrong once.
Doceri.
I always say Diacera. Doceri is iPad, is basically a tablet on steroids.
Well, let me explain it. It's basically you run a server on your desktop, and you run a client on an iPad.
Yep.
And now the iPad has full control of the desktop. It becomes basically an interactive whiteboard if you have a projector.
Yes, because you can annotate. But it goes one step further because it also has desktop control and as well as AV control. So you can control, you can switch to your document camera straight from it and everything
well,
like that.
Well, if you're using a Doceri controller, then you have that AV control capability. What I really like, though, is that it has the ability to record and save annotations just like you would with a whiteboard, all built into the Doceri software.
Which is really
cool.
And
it's all saved on a folder on your desktop. So,
well, the other cool thing is first off, until a couple of days ago, I didn't know it would do annotations, which is really cool.
Yeah, I don't think I saw that in the last demo either.
The other thing that I thought was cool was the basic unit is designed to just basically work with your projector. So you can.
Oh, now you're talking about remote control, but you don't even need to go that route.
No,
you can just buy the software.
The software for the iPad is free. The software for the computer is $50, which isn't bad.
No, not when you're talking about an interactive whiteboard experience.
Yeah. Well, but that's not counting the iPad. But that's a device that you don't have to use it for just that thing. So that's the best part.
Well, it's like, do you buy an interactive whiteboard or do you buy an iPad with the software?
Exactly.
And then you can do a whole bunch more. So,
but if you want to be able to control like your projector and stuff, you buy it. I believe it's like a $300, $350 unit. But every time you want to control something new, like a tuner, so for amplified audio in your classroom, or if you want to control a DVD player, or if you want to control a document camera.
And when you say control, basically what it does is it turns your iPad into the audio-visual controller for your room.
Yes. Or remote, if you will, for your DVD player or whatever. But you buy additions. You buy, I think he called them pucks. And those pucks plug into the main controller, and then they control the device. And it depends on what your device needs. If it needs IR, infrared, or if it needs a serial port cable.
Right. So that would determine the type of hardware that you're going to buy.
So you buy extras, which is nice because you don't have everything built in, and you're not going to pay for that up front.
Right.
And the last thing I saw was both my father and Wendy's dad love to barbecue. And of course I do too, but it's called iGrill.
Oh, you stopped by that?
I just looked at it and they handed me a brochure. I thought it was cool. It might be a Christmas present.
This is where you actually plug your iPhone in and cook stuff.
No.
Okay.
It's a thermometer and it goes to a little box that sits on next to your barbecue. And it's Bluetooth and it sends the information to your iPad or your iPhone.
Okay. I was confused.
No. Yeah, you don't want to. You're not leaving your iPad there or your iPhone there.
I was wondering how that was going
to
work.
So it's a Bluetooth little device that just basically sends out the signal to your iPhone or iPad.
That's actually pretty cool. You can put me on the list of recipients for birthday or Christmas.
What's that? Oh yeah. Okay. kitchen timer, recipe browsing. Oh, so it does more than just.
Oh, so it's actually like the old, egg timers that our parents used to use.
So that's as far as I got.
No, there's a lot to see.
I ran through as fast as I could. There was a lot of cool iPad, iPhone cases that I thought were kind of cool.
Well, one thing I saw, I mean, it's like iPod and iPhone and iPad cases are all over the place. They're like everywhere.
Well, some of the cooler ones were the ones that would strap to the back of a car seat, or not a car seat, but a
for the car,
a seat for the car. And so, like, you could put it on the headrest in the back, and it would basically turn into a
media system for your car.
Exactly.
Well, I thought, now why would you even buy a media system for a car? Why not just
have the iPad?
Yeah, just give every kid in the back seat an iPad.
Yeah, because those media systems are $2,000 to $3,000 to install on your car. So yeah, exactly.
Well, I haven't done it, so yeah, I guess
I don't have it either, but I know what they charge you. So the other thing would be I love the Zag iPad case, which is basically, it makes it look like a MacBook.
You sure you're not a Zag certified teacher?
If they would give me some promotional items, I would definitely pimp them out, because they have cool stuff.
I run my iPhone 4 naked, no screen protection.
I put it front and back, and I still have a cover on it.
You're crazy. I actually don't like the it on the Retina display. I think putting a shield on the screen does not do it justice.
Oh, I see what you're saying. A little bit, but it depends on how you put the screen on as well, or the screen protector. Because I when I put Wendy's on, I put it on so good, I actually left stripes on it because I put it on so well, and got all the bubbles out so precisely the first time. It actually caused problems with it, and mine had little tiny micro bubbles. If you want to call them that.
I thought you were supposed to be, those are supposed to dissipate over
they
time.
They do. And so mine went away, and my screen looks better than Wendy's, which I got out perfectly, and it almost like it dried it out.
Right.
We have a winner,
we
chicken
have winners.
Dinner.
Actually, we have several winners. It looks like the smart tablets are going out.
Yeah.
Wow.
Oh, and a kid got one. That's kind of cool. I wonder what he's going to use that for.
That's one of the Avery middle school students here with their iPads. Here comes
the next tutorial. And so... the other thing would be the iPad case from Zag. Cool, because it's aluminum, makes it look like a little mini MacBook. And the one thing I was concerned about was I thought it had the keyboard dock, where you had to actually
built in, or is it a Bluetooth keyboard?
It's Bluetooth, uh-huh. So you just open it up and set it in there. You can do landscape or vertical, and still be okay, and it looks real clean the way it works. And I believe, if I heard him right, there's no charging involved, so I'm not sure how that goes about.
No charging.
Yeah, and I don't know. I'll have to figure out what's going on there. But I heard something about charging. I'll have to go back and check it out later.
I'm sure it takes batteries. Well, I saw a couple of things. I was here a couple days earlier, so I got to go check out the floor, and. One of the things that I saw that I actually bought, and this is something that people may not realize with with Macworld, is a lot of the vendors have discounts on the floor.
Yes, I saw that.
So always tempting to buy. But there was a product which was called Fling, and basically it looks ridiculous, but it's so cool for the iPad. And you get two little suction cup. I guess, for lack of a better term, joysticks.
Oh, I did see those. They're basically, they basically turn them into thumb pads.
Yeah, you basically get two thumb pads for your iPad, so now you can play games and you actually have tactile feel. And
tactile feel.
Well, because you can feel
not
just touch.
It's not responding.
No.
You can feel the joystick basically under your thumb.
Because that's my biggest complaint with
your D-pad almost.
Yeah, exactly. It basically gives you an actual D-pad. And I actually used it, and it was so much fun that I bought a pair. So I will talk more about those when I actually get to use them, because I didn't bring my iPad to Macworld.
Now, what would be cool is if you had, if the MacBooks had touchscreen, and you could put them on the sides and play on the side of your MacBooks.
That's just a 13-inch iPad.
Well,
with a Bluetooth keyboard.
Yeah, that would be huge. Can you imagine?
Yeah, I'm actually really liking the 7-inch Nook.
And then I stopped by the Rain booth, which water, but the Rain booth is their stands for your MacBook, or they now have iPod stands as well. I really love my Rain desktop stand. They make laptop stands that you can rest your...
Oh, this is the one that, yeah, they had the demo where you could actually put it on your lap.
Yeah, but this one... My Rain stand it's aluminum, full aluminum, solid piece of aluminum, and it looks just like the base of an iMac. And so when you put your MacBook on it, you look like it's like a little mini-me next to your iMac. But I was hoping they'd have one that was very similar for the iPad, but they've done so much tweaking to it that I don't care for it as much. It was still a nice stand, but
I thought all the stands looked, I don't know, I think maybe it's just me, but I really just want the iPad to be
clean.
Yeah, just a device.
Yeah, I know what you're talking about.
The one thing I did like, there was a not even a case, but it was just like a handhold for the back.
Oh, it kind of suction cups on or something?
Yeah.
And then you can rotate it, and it basically it's to keep it from falling out of your hand.
Yeah, it just makes it easier
to
hold.
Okay, did you see the Geek jacket?
I did see the jacket, but I also saw the front-facing backpack.
Okay, so maybe it's the same.
I don't think it's the same company, but explain the Geek jacket.
Okay, so the Geek jacket, it had all kinds of pockets, of course, but it had a wrist, like the top of your wrist, not where your watch would be, a little compartment that you could open up, and that would be where your iPhone would be. And then they also had a front pouch where you would think you'd put your hands and maybe put some clothes or something. I don't know what you'd put in there, but I've seen jackets with the front pouch.
Well, I know what you'd put in there.
So you unzip it, and it falls forward, and it holds your iPad at chest level, I guess, so you can use it.
So you can use it hands-free. Yes, well, I saw something similar. It was basically a backpack, but it you wear it on the front, and it folds forward. So it folds forward and allows you to operate the iPad hands-free, which is similar. Pretty neat.
Cool. I was just doing an audio check, and because once in a while I get faces looking this way, and I'm wondering if we're interrupting them.
Yeah,
we're trying to be quiet over here. But
well, the audience is quiet now.
Yeah, they're all paying attention because they're waiting for prizes.
Everybody wants to know. They're all like keying in the response systems. They're like really paying attention.
This is big time because they're giving away lots of cool prizes. So, we're talking $1,000 prizes.
I feel like I'm narrating the tennis match.
Yeah, I was going to try, but I haven't watched tennis in years. So,
my
mom used to watch Wimbledon all the time.
Yeah, it's. I think the Australian Open is happening or has already happened. I was watching it in the hotel room.
I think we've gotten really good at killing time here because we can keep from having dead air pretty good.
We can talk and talk and talk.
We're going to have to cut a lot of this out.
No, it's all going to roll, man. Sorry, listeners. You're going to get it live and uncut.
Or that, or I think we maybe need to do segments.
Sorry, so I shouldn't say live. I should say raw and uncut.
Q Macworld 1, Q Macworld 2. That way it's only like 45 minutes at a time instead of a three-hour podcast.
We're going to have enough material for like 5-6 shows.
We're going to get to 100 shows by tomorrow.
Yeah, five-minute shows.
We've done about five-minute segments, so we could just do segments.
What are they giving away now? What are those blue things?
It looks like...
Are those responses?
They're smart response
cards.
Wow. Whole classroom sets.
Dude, why are we not playing this game?
I think we got snookered by John. 76, come on up. That's okay. We still love you, John.
No, this is awesome. I mean, there's a lot of vendor support here, which is cool. A lot of people are winning prizes.
I was trying to talk to as many vendors as possible, trying to tell them what we were doing up here and kind of the fun stuff. And hopefully maybe somebody would stop by, but they kind of just chuckled and, you know, gave you one of those...
Dude, it's Saturday.
Nice type of laughs.
They've been on that floor for, 3 days already?
That's true.
Actually, I saw some other interesting stuff on the floor, but I don't remember what it is.
Well, so. I stopped at the blue microphone booth.
Yeah, so I
can
tweet.
Which blue mic is usually, you know, the is more professional audio gear, but we do run our Yetis, and Andrew put a new tagline on our show at the top of our webpage. It's an ag teacher, an IT guy, and a Yeti walk into a classroom. And so I told him about it. They had a good laugh for me, but that was about it.
Yeah, well, we're small potatoes.
Well, especially because I told him we left our Yetis at home and we have our Shure mics out instead. Okay, so now I did see, I can't pronounce it, but it's at Tuaw, T-U-A-W, the website, the unofficial Apple website, web blog. They had a camera set up with the table and two Yeti mics.
quick. Really?
And I asked
him. How are they getting audio?
I said, how are you guys doing for audio? And he said they set it up Corduroy, and they said that they're getting the background noise a little bit, just like a normal mic, but you can still podcast real well.
Wow.
So
maybe we just did something wrong.
Well, we started with the blues the first time we were live, and so I wonder if that was the problem, because blues don't have that good of a setup.
Corduroy setting.
And the Yetis do. He also was telling me about the Yeti Pro,
right,
which has got the really high sampling rate.
Mm-hmm.
And if you're not running 10.6,
yeah,
which is what, Snow Leopard instead of Leopard?
Yeah, Snow Leopard.
So if you're running Leopard, right, the old version, is that 10.5? I can't.
Yeah, 10.5 is Leopard.
So if you're running 10.6
is Snow Leopard.
You cannot use it, the pros, because they just won't take it.
You can't handle the input.
I guess, yeah.
Wow.
So it kept freezing up on them, so they had to get the originals out. And I guess Blue just basically lets them use them.
Hmm.
But like they said, that's a good marketing, because now you have two Yetis sitting in front of you.
Well, you're talking about a podcast that probably has actual listeners.
Well, come on. The unofficial Apple weblog, a lot of people follow that website. So
yeah, although it was the first I heard of it. I did see them yesterday. I walked past. They were doing their live thing. So
yeah, actually a lot of cool stuff on that website. So if you're a Mac user,
T-U-A-W.
Yeah, T-U-A-W.com, I believe.
Looks like people are breaking for lunch.
Oh, and the
maybe.
We got promotional pictures from Smart. Yeah, well, two Smart response systems given away. That's about a $1,500, $2,000 unit that just got given out. Those Smart tablets were a good probably $500-$600 a piece. So
yep,
lots of real cool stuff. And,
oh yeah, there's some great prizes going out.
Mike Lawrence up on stage now, reminding everybody about Q in
March. Q2011 is March 17th through 19th, I believe. And you can check that out at q.org/conference. And we will be there as well, yes?
We will be there. Should we take the gear and do a session down there? Just a rogue setup. We'll just set up real quick and just in the middle of nowhere. We'll see how many people get mad at us.
Well, if the Yetis will work, maybe we should take those.
Well, like I made a comment that the Yetis are kind of hard to pack. And she's like, well, they fold up real nice, which the Yetis do fold up real nice.
Yeah, but we can get four Shures in the space of one Yeti.
Pretty much. And the Shures and the stands are probably... I probably one Shure mic or two Shure mics and stands are probably as heavy as one Yeti.
Right.
April 14th through 16th.
Oh, okay.
I'm sorry. That's all right.
Our opening keynote.
Are people going to lunch? I think people are going to lunch.
Our closing keynote will be Hall
Davidson. At the end.
We also are co-producing an online teaching conference in June. It's in Costa Mesa, and the info is at OTC 11.
Oh, this is interesting. An online teaching conference.
I'll
have to check that out.
My audience is perfect.
What is it?
We actually have been heavily involved in legislation.
I was going to talk about teleport and caffeine.
Okay, we are recording once again. And currently we have Ken Shelton and Diane Main up, and they are doing Picasa with the iFi cards. So they're going to be doing a lot of interaction with the audience. They've just given out three cameras that are loaded with the iFi cards. And for those of you that don't know, the iFi cards allow you to take pictures, and then they wirelessly send those pictures to your computer. And then I guess they're going to be using Picasa to store the pictures.
Actually, I think it might even go a step further. I think it actually, I think they can actually go straight up to a designated location like Picasa.
Interesting. Well, maybe we'll pay attention in the background. So you wanted to talk about apps.
Well, I've run across since I've been switching over to Mac more and more. I've ran across a few apps that I've been using quite a bit. One was that I use at home that's been wonderful for me, because I throw my MacBook up on that rain stand that I have next to the iMac, and I use a little app called Teleport, and it's really sweet because now I don't have to jump on my Mac or on my MacBook. I can just scroll my mouse right over to my MacBook. You set it up just like a dual screen display. And even better is it lets you cut and paste from one to the other. You have a what do they call that in Mac? Pasteboard sync, and you can also drag and drop files from one machine to the other.
Well, that's going to come in handy.
So really cool stuff. So let's say you download an app at school on your MacBook and you brought it home and you want to be able to throw it on your iMac or vice versa, you can just drag the DMG file over and boom, and it's in the other machine. And I have an okay setup. I'm just using an N wireless device, and it seems like almost instantaneous.
Mm-hmm.
So it's as fast as almost a drag and drop.
So basically you would use this in the place of a KVM.
It's software KVM, but it's better than a KVM because you can't drag and drop files between a KVM switch.
Yeah, that's true. So you get some added benefits in it.
So really cool stuff. Teleport is the name, and you can set it up to... it has some good different settings, some security settings. You can encrypt even, and you can ask to reject and stuff like that. And there's different ways to switch.
So you can share securely if you want.
Exactly.
If you need to.
Exactly. So that's Teleport. And I believe I can't remember who that's by. I'll have to look it up. But I've found some cool stuff for if you're into audio, and we're kind of getting into audio more and more.
We
have to. There is a company called Rogue Amoeba. I don't know if you've heard of it. Rogue Amoeba.
It sounds familiar. What do they do?
They have a bunch of different little audio software programs. They have some really cool free ones, and then they have some paid ones that are actually really cool that you can stream your iTunes to anywhere in the world, basically. Mm. You can it even does a radio station syncing, so you can set up a radio station and then stream that as well, you know, an internet radio station, stream that out to another computer. You can also do, they even have an app to actually broadcast, a broadcasting app as well.
Interesting. Hey, I'm going to jump in here. I just heard Diane Main say something interesting. Really cool idea. You could take those iFi cards, and you know how yearbook students are out taking pictures all the time?
Yes.
So you could give them an iFi card in the camera. And now they could go out all through campus taking pictures, and they could automatically be uploaded to, like, the yearbook Picasso site or somewhere central, and you wouldn't have to go through all that, I got to download and do all that.
Change the card out. That's cool. That's a good idea.
I just thought of that. Yeah. That's the kind of suggestion and stuff you can learn at these sessions, I think.
And we have some wonderful, extremely talented people presenting, so... all day long, so that's they have really good stuff.
And most of this, actually, this is all up on the wiki, and I'll just give another plug for the wiki, which is qmacworld.wikispaces.com. And if you want to see what Diane and Ken are doing with the MiFi, you can check that out.
Or what they did,
yes. We don't have video yet.
Okay, so Rogue Amoeba, I keep wanting to say Amiga, but it's Amoeba. They also have another little tiny program called Line In.
Oh, okay, that's where I know them from. Yeah, but is that a Windows capture? Or
no, Mac? No. Line In. All it does is it allows you to take any input device and turn it on.
Oh, okay.
So it will play through your speakers.
Yes. Remember when I had that fun trying to record it from Skype? Well,
and
Soundflower and Line In were the two utilities that I used, so that's where I know them from.
And
hey,
so.
You talk. I'm going to get a throat lozenge.
Okay, so Line-In's cool because, the way I'm using it is basically for my 2-year-old as a little fun device because I have the Yeti hooked up to my iMac, and I have Line-In. I turn Line-In on, and she can sing her little songs, you know, Twinkle, Twinkle, Little Star and stuff, and she can hear herself sing through the Mac speakers. So it's really cool. I guess you could use it for other stuff. You could actually do hook up some speakers to it, and you could use it for your classroom even. With a little wireless device, you have a classroom set of speakers. And I just thought of that right now, and I think I'm going to try that at school. So Andrew's back on. Let me say that again. So
no, I heard it. You're thinking stuff up right on the fly. That's pretty impressive for you.
Yeah, you know. So you could just use your PC speakers and hook up a little wireless device, and now you have instant audio for your classroom. So cool little device. Another one.
Why is audio for the classroom such a challenge?
Because nobody thinks it's necessary. As far as, you know, you're talking not audio as far as like DVDs or playing movies or playing music. You're talking about recording a person's voice and broadcasting it out to the class, right?
So audio enhanced. I'm actually talking both, because now as we move more into multimedia, more into internet online content, I think audio is going to become a bigger issue. Our solution 7 years ago was to give everybody a set of PC speakers,
which is only good for it's good and bad, because the kids closest to the speakers are getting blasted, and the kids far away are barely hearing it, and the kids in the middle are perfect. And so it's a secondary thought in a classroom. It's actually more than a secondary thought. It's further back than that. It's beyond people's perception of what's needed in the classroom. And I don't know, I'd have to look up the study, but I've heard there's been a study done that with good set of speakers in the classroom with audio amplification for the teacher, there is less absentee rate for teachers because of sickness.
So they're not having to strain at the top of their voice. They're not having to expend all that energy.
Well, not even at the top of your voice. Even, you know, a mellow teacher that talks is doing a lot of conversation with the students, or, you know, facilitating instruction, whatever, you're talking to the classroom.
Talking 7 hours a day is tiring.
Yeah.
I don't think people realize that. Who else really talks that many?
Which, a one-to-one classroom, hopefully you're not talking that much. You're only talking 15, 20 minutes at a time, but still, yet 15, 20 minutes a time, seven times is a long time.
I was just thinking about it from the multimedia perspective. You know, we want to have kids more engaged. We want to have more multimedia in the classroom. And a big part of multimedia, not only is it visual, but it's also audio. And that's maybe something we need to look at as we look at kind of upgrading the technology in our classrooms. What are we going to do to meet that audio need as well?
Yeah, and that's where I think where that... you still can't get it right. Doceri. I want to throw it in backwards. They have audio switching, so you could actually set up the tuner and be able to switch and turn it up and down with that. The thing is there's very few people who are doing audio for the classroom, and they're usually really expensive. And the other thing is they're usually not very good, because they're using RF mics and things like that, and it's just horrible little microphones. Well, that's part two, all finished up. Hope you enjoyed it. Please check your downloads for part three of Q at Macworld.
Roll the music.